Good morning. Thankful to be here. Another day of another opportunity to worship God. As you can see up there, we're going to talk about some things that are better. You know, we all live our individual lives making decisions based upon our various opinions, things that we like better or things that we think are better. You know, for instance, we make decisions on something we go through every day. You know, every morning when that alarm goes off, I make a decision. Do I hit the snooze button or do I get up? And so we think, is it better? Can I sleep another 9 minutes? Is that going to benefit me at all? Am I going to be more rested if I sleep that extra 9 minutes, or am I going to be more rushed to get where I need to go? And so that's a decision I make every single morning. You know, oftentimes, at least once a year, I go to the optometrist. And at the optometrist's office, you've got to make a lot of decisions, don't you? You know, he or she will say, well, which one's better, one or two? One or two? And you finally make that decision, and now they throw another one. Three or four? Three or four? Which is better? And so we're going to talk about some things that the Bible says are better. You know, I made a list of some things just in general that I think are better. Now, you can feel free to be wrong and disagree with this list, but some things are just simply better than others. Here's a little list I made. You know, books are better than movies, by and large. I'd rather read a book than watch a movie. Creamy peanut butter is better than the crunchy kind. Crunchy Cheetos, on the other hand, are better than those puffy ones. Finished, as my wife the quilter always says, is better than flawless. Has-beens are better than could-have-beens. It's better to be someone who has been and is no longer than someone who never was. Mesquite is better for making barbecue than hickory. Or Texas barbecue is better than Kansas City barbecue, if we feel like fighting over that. But speaking of which, hubris or humility is better than hubris. It's better to be humble. Rock is better than scissors. Paper's better than rock, unfortunately. Summer is better than winter. Sunrises are better than sunsets. Waffles are better than pancakes. Whataburger, well, it's just better. bacon, I don't need to say anything more about that. Experience is better than knowledge. Effort is better than talents. Hope is better than cynicism. Lust, or love, is better than lust. And faith is better than fear. Now, you might make a completely different list than this. You may believe that I have bad taste in the things which I think are better. And that's okay. It's just my opinion on these things. You know, take my word for it, or take my word and then, you know, consider the source. But God, speaking of considering the source, God has made a list of some things that are better. Now, what God says regarding these things that are better, it's not an option. It's not an opinion. If God says something is better, then it is better. Whether we agree or not, God says it's better. Now, God wants you and I to have a better spiritual life on this earth. He wants each of us to have a better eternal destination than the wicked are going to receive. And so God has given us some ideas and He's told us some things that He says are better than maybe the way people in the world live, maybe the way those that are outside of Christ live. He wants us to live that better life. He wants us to live that life that is better. And so we're going to look at about nine things here that God has said, or of which God has said it is better. And so, beginning with the better things, the first one we want to mention is it is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man. And Psalms 118, verses 8 and 9, it says there, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You know, everybody who's ever dealt with anyone in public knows this is right. You can't put your trust in man the way you can in God. You know, man is fallible. Man will say that he's going to do one thing, and and circumstances will come about and he will not be able to do it. You know, it may be well-intentioned. It may not be that he says one thing intending to do another. It's just simply that life happens. Things happen that come up unexpectedly. You know, of course, men do deceive. Some lie, some cheat. You know, some may be motivated by selfishness or covetousness and spite and so forth. And so it is better to trust in the Lord. You know, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, it says there, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, God has no sin, but men sin. Romans chapter 3 verse 4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. And so men lie. Men do not tell the truth oftentimes. We cannot really put our trust in fallible man. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5, we're also told there to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. And so it is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man, even to trust in princes. God is infallible. God is unchanging. God is a man of his word, so to speak. Put your trust in him. It is better, in Ecclesiastes 7, verses 5 and 6, to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. You know, humor is a good thing. Laughter is, you know, it's good for the soul. Proverbs 15, verse 13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow the heart of the spirit is broken. And then Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You know, there is nothing wrong with humor. Humor is great, but it can be very good for you, but not always. You know, by observing what causes you to laugh, you're given an insight into your character. You know, do you laugh about, you know, that potty humor, those gross jokes that, you know, fifth graders like to tell? Is that the kind of thing? Well, you might not be very mature if that's the case. Your mind, you know, do you laugh at dirty jokes? Someone tells a dirty joke, does that make you laugh? You know, maybe your mind is not where it ought to be. Do you laugh at the tragedies of others? You seriously lack compassion. You know, and so think about what makes us laugh. You know, you think about those comedians. You ever watch a modern stand-up comedian? You can't. Almost all of them, invariably, they are foul-mouthed, and the things they talk about are things that we should have no business being around or, you know, hearing. And so, you know, fools cannot help us. You know, the smart-aleck remarks and the sarcasm and things of fools aren't going to help us, but the wisdom of the wise, those that know God's word, those that understand God's will, those that have lived a righteous, faithful life, those are the kind of people we need to be listening to. You know, oftentimes, you know, we'd rather listen to someone that tells us what we want to hear, though. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come, in verse 3, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, oftentimes we'd rather hear those smooth things. You know, Isaiah's day, people wanted to hear smooth things. They wanted the prophets to prophesy smooth things. They wanted to hear what they wanted to hear. But really what we need to hear is what God's word says. It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise. than to hear the laughter of fools. Next, it is better to enter into life halt or maimed, Matthew chapter 18, verses 8 and 9. Let's pick up that verse here. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. You know, man cannot just have everything he wants. Therefore, he's got to decide which is better. Things eternal are better than things temporal. And so we need to focus on the eternity. If we have to give up something in this life that we like, that we like to do but is wrong, in order to live eternity in heaven, then it's worth giving up. And so it is better to enter into life halt or maimed than to go in with all of those things. You know, things eternal are better. Matthew or Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. It says, therefore, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, self-denial is a prerequisite to following Christ. Matthew 16, verse 24. It says, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. That is, to take up the cross. That is, to put the things of this earth to death. To sacrifice yourself for me. That's what it means to take up our cross. And we're to follow him. We should put first things first in doing this. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, the parable of the pearl of great price is a lesson on values. Look over in Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You know, that great price, that pearl of great price, that is the gospel, that is the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. It's worth everything. Anything and everything that I have to give up, it is worth it in order to gain Christ. If I have to give up my earthly and fleshly desires, you know, remember that in Matthew chapter 19, the rich young ruler, you know, God said, or Jesus told him to sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Whatever we have of this earth, it's worth sacrificing in order to go into heaven. Even if we have to give up a proverbial arm or a leg or an eye, don't take that literally. He doesn't mean to take that literally. But whatever it is that is keeping us from following God, we need to get rid of it. We're better to go to heaven without it than to go to hell with it. And so it is better to enter into life halt or maimed. It is better that thou shouldest not vow. Look over in Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5. He says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. And so a vow is a solemn promise, one especially made unto God. You know, did you make a vow in times of crisis or sickness or death? You know, Jonah did. Remember in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, in the belly of the great fish, he made this vow. He says, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, did Noah fulfill that vow? You think about Noah. He wanted, you know, he went and did what God told him to do reluctantly. And he was mad when God did what he said he would do and forgive those if they change, if they repented And so he made that vow, but I don't see him making that sacrifice. You know, Jacob also made a vow on giving in Genesis 28, verse 22. He says, "And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee the tenth unto thee." And so he gave what he promised. You know, what about us? Have we made promises to God with as far as what we're going to do or how we're going to live or what we're going to give? You know, covenant breakers in Romans 1 verse 31 are condemned. Notice here, the a characteristic of the Gentile world, those separated from God. They were without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And so it is better that thou shouldest not vow than to vow and not fulfill what you said you would. In Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 11, wisdom is better than rubies, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. I think I should have put Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11. I have Ecclesiastes 8:11, and that is definitely not it. So wisdom is better than rubies. You know, wisdom is defined as a quality of being wise, the ability to judge soundly and to deal sagaciously with facts, discernments. You know, you can educate a parrot, but you cannot give him wisdom. Wisdom, in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 16, is better than strength. It says, "Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard." You know, wisdom is also better than weapons of war. He says in verse 18, "Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good." And so wisdom, the proper application of knowledge, the knowledge that comes from God's Word, to properly or rightly divide the Word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. So wisdom is better than rubies. Now here's a controversial one. It is better to dwell in the wilderness, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9, than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And really the same is true of a man. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than to dwell in a wide house with a brawling man. And so peace is more valuable than a castle. You're better off living in a hovel with peace, with harmony, than living in some great mansion. In Romans chapter 14, we'll look first in verse 19. Romans 14, verse 19. "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and therewith one may edify another." And then Romans chapter 12, we'll back it up to verse 18. Romans 12, 18. "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." And so it is better to dwell in the wilderness than to dwell with a brawling woman in a wide house. You know, it takes a heap of living in a house to make it a home. We've got to live, find a way to live peaceably. So it is better to dwell in the wilderness. It is better, or better is, a dinner of herbs where love is than stalled ox, Proverbs 15, 17, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. It's better to enjoy less where there is true hospitality than to have much where it is given reluctantly. You know, stalled ox, that's not something that's usually on our menu. I'm not sure what a stalled ox is, but, you know, think about a steak dinner. You know, big old fat T-bone steak. It's better to have a dinner of herbs, nothing but vegetables, in a house where there is love than to have that steak dinner. It's better to enjoy less where there is true hospitality than to have much where it is given reluctantly. You know, the gift without the giver is bare. You know, there's a story about an old lady. She invited the preacher and his family over to eat in her home. She served them only bread and water and said, if you're Christians, it's good enough for you. If not, it's too good for you. And so we've got to hospitality. Better is a dinner where a verb where love is than stalled ox and hatred. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. No, sorry, 1 Peter 3:17. My notes are out of order from the PowerPoint here. Better it is, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And so, you know, we're going to be criticized whether we do right or wrong. To be sure, you're going to you're right and go ahead. So Jesus, he also was criticized. He was criticized in Matthew chapter 9, verse 11, for eating with sinners. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? He was also criticized because of his family. Matthew 13, verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence hath this man all these things? You know, he was a man of poverty. He was not a man who had gone to school and had a great education. He was of poverty. And so he was criticized because of that. He was criticized for his hometown. In John chapter 1, in verse 46, it says, and Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And so because he came from Nazareth, is there anything good that can come from Nazareth? He was criticized also in John chapter 5 for healing on the Sabbath day. Look over there in John chapter 5. Here he was doing good and yet suffers criticism because of it. We'll pick it up there beginning in verse 1. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. After this, there was at the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethsaida, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withering, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whatsoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, this was just a local legend that they were following there. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, is this the Sabbath day? It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. So here was a man that was healed, laying on a bed. He picks up his bed, he's carrying this the Lord's day or the Sabbath day. Oh, you can't be carrying that bed. He answered them. He said, He that made me whole said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then they asked him, What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus conveyed himself a multitude, conveyed himself away a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Here Jesus is going about doing good, as he always did, as we ought to do as well. He suffered for it. He never did wrong. He never did evil. At all points, he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Well, it's better to suffer for good than for evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointments, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Your birthday or your death day is better than your birthday. But a good name is better than precious ointments. You know, our name is man's greatest asset. You know, it is more valuable even than great riches. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Yes, there is something in a name. A man's name and influence can live on after he has passed on from this world. Revelation 14 and verse 13. Here John says, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow. And then Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Our name can live on. That's why it's better than precious ointment. That ointment is going to, you know, those essential oils, after a while they turn bad. They get skunky. They're not any good anymore. A precious name is much better. And that's what we're talking about, this ointment. There's essential oils and things that they use in those days and that are really popular today. But a good name is better than that. Through it, the dead still speak if they left a good name on this earth. What kind of legacy are you and I going to leave when we depart from this earth? And so these are a few things that God has said are better. But in Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, Paul has this to say about which is better. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming unto you again. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In nothing terrified by your adversaries, which to them as an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which He saw in me and now here to be in me. And so it is better to be with Christ than anything else. You know, eternity in heaven with God is better than eternity with hell, in hell with the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, how do we avoid that fate? How do we avoid going and being with that the devil and his angels in eternity? We obey Christ's commandments. We hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. We repent of our sins, confess that holy name, be baptized for the remission of our sins, and then we live a life faithful, faithfully dedicated unto God. Eternity in heaven is better than eternity in hell. How do we get there? It is better to obey than to sacrifice. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Remember, King Saul wanted to make the sacrifice for himself. He didn't wait for Samuel to show up. He did what he wanted to do. Verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. It is better to obey God than it is to do what we think we want to do, to do our own will. It is better to put God's will above our own. You know, we may not understand everything that God has in mind when it says, you know, why he chose baptism. Why didn't he choose something else? We may not understand that exactly, but we do know that's what he commanded. And it's better to obey than to not. And so these things are better. They will help us to have a better life here on earth and help us to have that better eternal destination. Today, if you're here and you are not a child of God, we urge you to become one today, as we've talked about. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be here today as one in Christ who hasn't been faithful. We urge you to come back to repent. If we can help you this morning to respond to the Lord's invitation, would you please let us know as together we stand and as we sing.